you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, I'm rally fan Lisa O'Sullivan, and you know this is Spin the Rally Pod because you made the grown-up decision to download and listen. Now, we are hurtling towards October, and because we're living in unusual times, here at dirtfish.com, we are now preparing for the Secco Automotive Rally Finland. I have questions. Will it be the same? Or if it's going to be different, is it going to be better? Will the Grand Prix of Gravel be great this late in the year? I don't know. But I do have three experts who are going to bluff their way through. And we have the voice of rallydirtfish.com contributor Colin Clark. We've got our fabulous former motorsport team boss George Donaldson, and the man of many words, the dirtfish.com senior staff writer David Evans. Boys, am I right to be excited about Finland being just over a month and a bit late? Actually, it's 2 months.
Yes.
It's going to be 2 months late.
2 months.
2 months.
To be honest, Lisa, we've had, over the years, we've had a huge variety of weather in Finland. We've had years without any summer when basically the crops were failing, you know, and they were having to leave them in the field to rot. They had to plough them in because it was so wet and cold. I've been out there when it was, I don't know, 10 to 15 degrees and raining the entire week of the rally. I mean, actually the entire two to three weeks of the rally in those days, because that was still at the period of very long, even unlimited recces. So, yeah, a little bit of everything. So Finland, honestly speaking, we could see some frosty mornings.
And it's going to be
That's
dark.
That's exciting, isn't it?
It's going to be dark.
Well, it'll be dark. That's definitely a factor, David. I mean, what are the drivers saying to you about that?
Definitely going to be dark for Friday night stage and Saturday night stage. Friday night starts at 7 o'clock. Oi, Tilla! And Patiokki, the second run is at 6:30. I'm just a little bit. Actually,
half past six. Yeah, that'll be darkish as well.
Well, the sundown time is 18:48, so it will be it'll be thingy dusk. But then obviously the Harju stage is 8 o'clock on Saturday night, so that will be. That'll be dark.
Can I just ask a quick question about that? Because George knows all these kind of things. I was in Japan over the summer. At basically, 6 o'clock in the evening, it's almost like, it's dark. It got dark that quickly. Does it get dark slowly or quickly at this time of year in Finland?
Quicker. Not well, on these northern latitudes, it's always just that little bit slower because obviously it does set slowly. It's not coming down vertically. It's going across the horizon. But with the sun being that low, you know, any cloud, any rain, and it is forecast to be cloudy. I mean, we're looking at a fairly cloudy week. Sunny today, -2 this morning. Did you like that?
I like that.
-2. That was this morning. Yeah, definitely a bit cool, but a lovely sunny day. But then it's tomorrow, 2 degrees, but a little bit of sunshine. And then after that, really not much sunshine at all through the week. Little glimpses, little sunny intervals between 5 and 11 degrees. Not looking too wet, guys. The forecast says dry.
I do have something to say here. And I'm absolutely conflicted because, George, you've got no idea how much those kind of conditions absolutely work for me. That is my optimum working temperature.
Yeah.
And I won't be going because, team, I have had COVID. COVID-19 has struck the Evans house.
Mate.
Yeah, so for the last week.
That's cruel.
I have to say something about all of this. You know, it struck the Evans household. Mr. and Mrs. Evans have been really quite poorly. But David Evans is a bloody trooper. I'm telling you, he never missed a beat last week. He had a full diary. but you know, you've done extremely well, David. But you've really done extremely well.
I have to say, the whole thing has been quite unpleasant. And we thought, you know, oh, it'll be fine. Clearly, it came from school, from the children. But Sandra and I both thought, ah, it'll be fine. We're double vaccinated.
Am I losing you, David?
Sorry.
Just you, George. I'm hearing him perfectly. Pipe down, Georgie. Pipe down.
Okay, sorry.
Loss of hearing, George, is definitely one of the side effects of the Delta variant.
Mm. What?
So yeah, it was just tough. It was just, you know, I'm sitting here now and I am actually sweating a bit. Around this time in the afternoon, still, you get unbelievably tired. I am absolutely cream crackered right now. But you've got to say, writing about our sport and researching our sport is enough to stave off the worst of COVID. I was gutted. I had to miss Rally Day on Saturday, and now to be missing Finland is, you know, it's just too much. But equally, you know, we've seen this thing in the last year, 18 months has done far worse to people than make them miss one of their favorite rallies. So moving on, I won't be there. So George, if you could shut up about how beautifully cold it's going to be, that would be very helpful. For me, I've spoken to the majority of the drivers after their tests and everything, and I am a little bit, Yari Matu was the one that kind of got me talking to him. And I'm so excited about a Finland in autumn. It's just something different. Mm. I was quite the same when Rally GB moved to September, because, you know, it's just a complete curveball, isn't it? I said to Yari Matu, are you excited? Mm. Is it a bit weird? And he was like, well, not really. No, it's not quite the same. You know, his summers for the last 25 or 30 years have always revolved around getting ready for Finland. And I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? You know, if you're in Evascula, it's not quite the same, because, you know, you build up and build up through the summer. And as we know, the summer, the midsummer solstice and everything is a big deal in Finland. You get past that and then suddenly it's rally time. It will be different. But for me, it will still be absolutely unbelievable. There will be some technical differences. George, you'll know. Talking to all of the drivers, I'm not sure if anybody has even bothered to test the hard tyre, because clearly, you know, Lappi was out on, was it on Sunday? And he said that the ambient was 5 degrees pretty much all day, lots of rain.
Yeah.
And he said, I said, will you even consider it? And he said, no, not even going to look at it. And you simply couldn't, could you?
No. I mean, there's no way in the world. There'll be no axle swaps of tyres, etc. Other than just on condition.
But
basically,
equally, that the softer tyre, we won't see the wear. You know, traditionally, we never see high wear rates in Finland, do we? And with the weather, you know, quite wet, you'd expect. I don't know. I haven't seen the allocation for soft, but surely soft has to be the preferred tyre, doesn't it? They're going to give them more of those. So I can't see.
And you have to say, if the allocation does require them to use hards at some point, and it very often does, doesn't it? You're the prime tyre, just about will see you through the rally. But, you know, quite often, if you've picked up a puncture or two, or you've got excessive wear, but as you say, David, that doesn't happen so much in Finland. But if you do have excessive wear, you might choose the subprime, if you like, to use a horrible Formula One term. And if that's the case, if they do have to maybe go out with a couple of hard compound tyres at any point during the rally, the man who we know can make those work is Robin Perra. You know, we've seen the video, haven't we?
Yeah.
That Terenzio did, the boss of Pirelli, talking about how Robin Perra can make those hard compound tyres work. He can find a way of getting heat into them. But you're quite right, those kind of temperatures. You know, we had low temperatures, remember, on the final morning in Greece. Well, we're very high up around 2,000 or so metres. And we weren't quite as high as that. We were about, I think, around about 1,200, 1,300 metres. But we had low temperatures, but they weren't as low as those temperatures you're talking about, George. So it'll be interesting, you know, if they are forced at any point to use the hard compound tyres, just how well they'll perform or not.
Well, I mean, as David said, the wear is not a huge issue. Could it be that drivers might actually take two new tyres and two second-hand tyres out
for some laps
in order to maintain the advantage with the softer tyre, because it could be significant in these long corners. Although we're not seeing huge amounts of wear on the tyre, the grip level on these long corners. I mean, that'll be massive. That can be 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 kilometres per hour difference speed through these long corners. The whole stage is a corner, basically, you know. So it can
but
be huge.
But the road as well, with the road will evolve quite a lot, won't it, George? We will see, you know, particularly the softer road. From all of the tests that the boys have done, it's the softer roads that are really, as we've seen in the past, they're cutting up because there's not as much maintenance in them. There's not as much traffic across them. They're not used as much. So therefore, they're not as durable and as hard wearing. So, you know, when you turn onto these smaller roads, we will get ruts and it will be.
Yeah, I mean, the very first time that they started to use those small roads was the year that I went in 1988.
It was just to slow you down, George. And it was just because they knew you were going to be too quick for them.
Yeah, well, I was quick enough to fling it off the road a couple of times, wasn't I? So that wasn't so clever anyway, either
there's
way.
There's video of that somewhere, Georgie. Well, we've seen that, haven't we?
There is a wee bit. That's the second one. I basically, at that point, I was driving behind a temporary windscreen that wasn't the best. But the first mistake that led to that one was quite an interesting one, actually. That was
come on, then.
One.
Don't tell us.
Pace note error.
And what happened?
I mean, I think I had it something like easy left over crest, easy right, and it should have been easy left to easy right over crest, and it should have been an easy right maybe over the crest because the road narrows quite quick. Easy's a quick corner, but it was a wide road and about 60 or 70 metres after the crest and turning on this easy right, the road narrowed from the left. And I got round the corner fine and I was doing just fine. And then the road just disappeared and it just flipped us over. We would have been at the top end of second gear, which in a Sierra Cosworth up about 65, 70 miles an hour. And a double roll and... I think we were left on our side, but some spectators got us onto our wheels very quickly. We lost less.
So, if you'd put the word two into that note, George, if you had inserted the word two, how would you have changed? Yeah. What would you have done differently?
So, I went easy left, and I can't remember. I did go over the note quite extensively with my co-driver, Chris, at the time to figure out where we'd gone wrong. And I mean, it was quite clearly it was a bad note, but it should have been. It should have been the easy left was over. I should have been already turning easy right before I hit the crest. And I wasn't. I went across the crest fairly straight and ran out of road, basically. I didn't have the car turning right enough. So just line wasn't good enough. The note wasn't detailed enough. But I did make them all myself, recorded them on tape, wrote them up, went through some of the stages listening to my notes and then modifying them, which was really hard. But then Chris could only come out for about a week, so we managed over all the stages once with the notes. I had them all written up by the time.
So literally, you were in the car
notes,
on your own,
wrote them all up,
recording into a tape recorder
with a tape recorder.
That's fabulous.
So cool.
Yeah. And then in the evenings, I sat there and wrote it all up. So that was the only way we could manage it. So we didn't have time. So you would do those things. When you were young?
Did you use a C90 or a C60? Was it a BASF Chrome? Remember those?
No, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't. You nobody would use C90s.
Why?
Because they had a tendency to eat themselves.
Because it was a thinner tape,
wasn't
themselves. It?
Such
yeah,
thin
yeah.
tape. So you used C60s. I've still got
there is a
tapes,
whole generation not. Of people out there now wondering what the hell we're talking about.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. It's a different language.
Last time I was in Japan, David, I actually saw, because I'd read about the fact that compact cassettes were being discontinued. Yeah. Although I don't believe they have. I believe they actually continue to exist. But anyway, I bought.
They're actually
a pack
made a bit of a comeback, I think, George, because the snowflakes love the retroness of Walkmans.
Seriously,
so what's a snowflake?
What's
a snowflake?
Careful,
the millennials.
Seriously, what's a snowflake? Oh, that's a millennial. Yeah. Is that that's not derogatory or in any way racist or defiant?
No, it's a little bit derogatory.
Okay, it's not
it's
good.
Totally no, it's totally derogatory okay. to the teenagers that can't cope with modern life.
But the best bit, that, you do miss okay. that Walkman. That Walkman moment when your batteries used to start running out, and you were desperate to get through that one song,
yes,
and you could just hear it.
I had a Chris Rea. Uh-huh. I had a Chris Rea album that I thought when I heard it play somewhere else, I thought, God, that's going way too fast. And it was just that my Walkman never played at the right speed.
I actually bought a really, really, really nice tape deck. And it's a three-head tape deck, Lisa.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Just a compact cassette three-head. So that means the recording head is different from the playback head. But when you play back with that, it sounds better than a CD.
Oh,
it's bizarre. Wow. So good.
And George, did you say
that's old school? Now you need to sound it right. It needs to sound rough now, so you've got to go back to a dirty needle and a bit of static.
Yeah.
Georgie, did you say you still got those?
My daughter bought an album.
Have you still got the Pace note tapes?
My daughter just bought an album there. Oh, probably. It may have.
Well done, George. Well done,
yeah,
Colin.
Probably in a box. I may have.
I'd love to hear those at some point. That would be really quite interesting.
We could
guess the stage. We could do a competition with guess the stage from George's Pace notes.
I can digitise them.
Well, a very, very, very small amount of people could actually start to guess what stage it was.
George, you would be astonished.
I mean, that would only be a couple of drivers.
You would be astonished. No, it won't. Yeah. No, it won't. People will be able to work out the sequences of bends and the tightness and the hairpins if there are any. There will be plenty of people out there that could guess it. I want to hear them, Georgie. That's your task to find them.
Dirtfish Rally,
I'll try and find them.
Hashtag Dirtfish Rally.
Just out of interest, what were we talking about 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
I don't know, you went off onto cassette tapes.
Well, here's the thing. I'll try and get it back on course.
Pace notes.
So we're talking about the roughness of stages, George. David. You were talking about the roughness of stages, and I mentioned that the first year, the year I drove, was the first year they introduced those horrible little stages that go down around the lakes, around all the little summer houses. And they were dreadful. Absolutely. It was like going through, one of the stages, like Culbin Forest up near Inverness, just sand and soft. I mean, basically, I tell you what it's like. It's the Finnish version of Fesh Fesh.
Yeah.
Basically, horrible. It's that horrible. It was tough.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. There's a few things that we've got to look out for this year. It's the time of year and whether that's going to have a massive difference. Because as you say, George, it can rain at any time of the year in Finland. But you look at the itinerary.
It doesn't look like it is. The forecast says it's good.
Exactly. And it's kind of GB-like weather, isn't it? Could be lovely kind of autumnal days, or could be a little bit damp and wet and miserable. Yeah. I don't think we're going to get any snowing. It doesn't look as if we're going to get any substantial ice or anything in the morning. What interests me is the fact that it's quite a compact itinerary. So, you know, we've got 48 hours effectively, 300Ks in 48 hours. But more than that, it's the fact that an awful lot of the competitive kilometres are new to just about all of our drivers. Now, David, you mentioned Rally Day. I had a good chat with Craig Breen at Rally Day, and he reckons that only himself, which is amazing, because he did the rally in 2009, and perhaps Sebastian Ogier will have had any experience of some of these new stages that are out there. So to me,
Tanak?
That's interesting. It's going to be Tanak, possibly Tanak as well. He seemed to think it would only be Ogier and himself. But it's going to be interesting to see how they deal again with the making of the notes. But for me, what it does is it levels the playing field again, and it puts Kalle Rovanperä absolutely in the box seat. Absolutely in the box seat. We know what he can do when he goes to a rally where nobody has a big advantage in terms of experience.
Colin, it's quite an interesting comment you make there, because these types of conditions where you get that soft, mushy type of stage, do you know what? Somebody's car that's just melded perfectly with the driver and everything's just working on it. You know, you could see a 1-2-3 from Hyundai here.
Hyundai?
You know, potentially, you know, I'm just saying that's the sort of thing. Because these conditions are so particular and so odd and so soft, you might find that, you know, the Hyundai or the Toyota just slot straight into and their car's perfect. The drivers have just gelled with it and boof, they're gone. Yeah. You know, you could see quite big differences just due to the conditions. You know, some drivers are complaining that they can't get steering and the car's jumping all over the place. And the next guy says, no, the car's perfectly in the ruts. I'm just committed to everything. And big differences in time we can see. And then, you know, the chasing pack then has to try harder, so it gets worse and you just go backwards. You've seen it before.
I've got to say, for me,
yeah, it's interesting
it's
conditions.
It's going to be Kelly. You know, regardless, yeah. Everything that you've just said there, George, is dead on and absolutely right. But one thing goes beyond all of that, and it is the driver's it's part of what you said, that it's driver's confidence. That's where Kelly is right now.
Yeah.
He is a driver who can walk on water, and we've seen it time and again.
Mm.
And for me, Cole, you're dead right as well about it's a new route, you know, there's lots of new stages, it doesn't matter. You know, even if we went back to an absolute carbon copy of 19, Kelly would still win. He will. Yeah. For me, he is a driver who is completely on top. He's won two of the last three rounds. One that he didn't win was EPA, but he was quickest of the Toyotas. He's just got it right now. You know, he is a driver who just seems completely relaxed and capable of doing anything. Let's not forget the Toyota's never been beaten in a vascular ever. These small roads in all conditions, they will have tested George, won't they? You know, the car's designed and built in Pupolo, which is just north of Ivascula. It's now, obviously, the team's now moved back down into Ivascula, but their permanent test site is in that area, and including fast, wide, small, narrow, technical, every bit of road. And they will have run that car in every conceivable condition. And they'll have
Do you know what's interesting, David? What's really interesting is you're that's a great observation, because you know, we know Hyundai have tested, and we know that last year they tested quite extensively in Finland, didn't they, before Rally Finland was canned. Now, I saw two of the roads that they tested on Hyundai. Did I see three? I did see three of the roads that they tested on, all three roads. And they were, you can't test in every condition, can you? So you test really what you think is going to be representative of the majority of what you're going to come across.
Mm.
So those three roads that I saw them testing on last year were all fast and flowing roads with big jumps in them. You know, they didn't really, as far as I can remember, they didn't really test on those little nadgery roads that, as George says, cut up badly and get really soft. And as you rightly say, you know, if the Toyota boys wanted to spend the whole day testing in those roads, they'd have no problems doing that, because it's within their allocated test zone, their test site. So it could make a huge difference.
It is going to be difficult as well, because the car setup is... It will come into its own a little bit more at this time of the year, George, because you ordinarily on those kind of roads that Colin's talking about, you want quite a stiff car that's going to give you lots of precision, when it turn in, really clean, sharp turning. But as the road softens and digs out a little bit, you're going to have to trade some of that precision for traction, aren't you, and soften the car a little bit.
The cars will be just soft like melted butter. That'll be the core setup. You know, they are so soft anyway. I mean, it's remarkable to think that the spring rating on these rally cars, well, the last time I checked, they were down about 17, 18, maybe 19 newton meters springs. I think that was the expression, which I'm not sure how to convert that to pounds in broad terms. But basically, they were under half and very often a third of a standard road car. Spring setting.
And that remarkable. Is remarkable. And also, the other thing to think about here is that historically we've seen the Hyundai struggle on the first run of stages, haven't we? Always struggled in Finland, never apart from Arctic this year, but in a typical Ivascula rally Finland, they've never really had any success to speak of. I think that they will struggle again until there's more grip in the road.
I sincerely hope you're wrong, because I would love to see the whole thing change.
It's Colin gone to do his Derby 8.
Well, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was George. No, I'm taking those responsibilities.
It was me. Sorry.
Why have you all got old-fashioned ring ties? And the question another one of my questions. I have many questions. You've answered a lot already, so you've done very well so far. What should I be expecting from Esa-Pekka Lappi this weekend?
David, over to you. You've spoken to Latvala. Latvala's expecting a whole load from him, isn't he?
No, I thought they might be, but they're not. Lappi himself said, just this great quote. Let me try and find it. Something like, it is completely unrealistic to think of him even conceivably trying to win this rally. You know, we get this with drivers, that they're very quick to talk their chances down a little bit. EP wasn't doing that at all. He was being realistic. It's 10 months since Monza. And he said, you know, the first time he got in the car, he did a couple of runs. And he said, it totally takes your breath away how fast these cars are and how quick you can go. There was a real insight, actually, into, you know, you'd go to a test and you'd see a driver, and Latvala was in the car with him around lunchtime on, I think it was Saturday or Sunday. Saturday.
Good lad.
And Yeri Matti said, the speed in the test was good enough to win the rally. Incredible speed. But like Yeri Matti said, you know, the key is to have the confidence in the car to take that from a road that you know incredibly well and take that speed and put it onto the first stage where you've only been through it on a recce twice. And they changed the test road for Esa-Pekka halfway through. They put a new loop or something in, essentially a new bit of road. So he'd spent the morning and he'd got up to this incredible speed, built the confidence again, got the car right, and away he went. And EP said they then added in this new section, which of course he'd made notes for at the same time he did the recce of the whole test stage. He said, as soon as I went into that new road, I was hesitating again. And he said, that's what it'll be on the first stage. I won't be completely committed. I won't be confident. So Yeri Matti said top five.
He knows, David. He knows for many reasons.
Yeah, there's no reason. There is no reason for Esa-Pekka Lappi to push that car. It's simply to get himself back in the groove, back up to speed, so that when it comes to probably not Monty, but Sweden next year, and he's back with the factory team, he is ready to go. I wouldn't be surprised if we maybe see him do Monza or something as well. I don't know. You hit the nail there on the head, Cole, because talking to Lappi after the test, there was no anxiety. There was nothing. I remember talking to him at the start of the year when he tested the Polo for Arctic, and there was that, I kind of need a result. I need, he was completely different. Completely, you know, EP is not a man who's stressed anyway.
Well, he's got a contract there, isn't he?
So he's just got to
use that this opportunity to get that familiarity on home ground. It'll be hard. It'll be hard to accept in one way what's likely to happen to him. But you know, I think he's a guy that's exercised brilliant patience in the past. So let's hope he actually does that.
It'll be interesting. When did Latvala take? We haven't seen too many private Yaris out
2020 in Sweden, wasn't it?
Right. It was last year in Sweden. Mm. And I, you know, if my memory serves me correctly, probably the only time we've seen a Yaris in the hands of a privateer, which effectively...
Marcus did one as well.
But was Granholm in the Yaris?
Yeah.
Was he in the Yaris?
Quite steady as well. Disappointingly steady.
He was fast in the test as well.
Yeah, that's true.
On the test road, I was actually at his test in Finland.
That's right.
And he was quick there, but he then basically screwed up quite early on in the rally, and then super rallied, didn't he? I think he super rallied.
Yeah.
And so he was first. He was first on the road, so he never got a chance to show. And he was kicking. He was kicking himself. He was just. He said, George. He said, I know I could have built up to have thrown in some good times, but he said I never got the chance. I blew it myself. So. From Esa-Pekka's point of view, don't blow it.
Well, my point there, George, was going to be just how difficult it is. You know, Latvala struggled as well. Latvala really struggled. Okay, I think his rally came to a premature end from a technical issue. I'm pretty sure it was a technical issue.
It did, because Tommy gave him another rat. Tommy essentially gave him a full refund. Which he's never taken.
He's still owed a few bob or a rally somewhere. But up to that point, David, he struggled. Now, he may have been struggling because the car wasn't working correctly, but my point is that, as we've seen so many times, it is difficult, really, really difficult to get back into these cars and go quickly. And I'd have to say, you know, we had some interesting words from Adamo about potentially not using part-time drivers next year because these new cars, the 2022 cars, are going to be even more difficult to just jump into and go quickly. You know, you will have to have the continuity of the seat time. So if Lappi were just to, say, make his debut in the 2022 car in Sweden, he's already a little bit behind the game in terms of, you know, competitive time opposed to the other drivers. It'll be interesting. It'll be really, really interesting to see how that works out. Adamo was more or less saying, we'll have three full-time drivers next year, and we're still waiting to hear who that third driver is. But he seemed to think, and whether that's really, you never know with Adamo, sometimes there's games being played. Maybe that's to back his argument about having a full-time driver as opposed to part-time drivers. I don't know. But it made sense to me, you know, that they are going to be difficult cars to drive.
It's true, Cole. You know, there are so many more parameters in there now, aren't there?
Yeah.
And you know, even just taking out the centre diff, you would want more seat time just to understand the car in so many different conditions.
I mean, there is one slight exception to this story that we've just said, because remember, Sebastian Loeb came back and instantly was quick, although he did make a mistake. But he was instantly quick in Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
So it's not
George,
that
was the 2016 car.
But
you're talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
We're talking 2012, aren't we? When he was remarkably quick.
Yeah. It's an express train, and if you hop off it, it's gone. Yeah. It's gone, and you get on the next one, but you're behind. And eventually, you know, when you can get enough experience, you can hop over at the station onto the fast train again, the first
one.
But
here's a question for you, boys. Here's a question for you.
There's going to be a break to do it.
If that proves to be the case, that, you know, it does look as if maybe, you know, the cars next year will favour the full-time drivers. I'd have to say it surprised me a little that Toyota went with the split driver. You know, okay, they've got to accommodate Ogier somewhere. That's absolutely correct. But why not just dovetail him with Takamoto-san? You know, because Takamoto-san will do every event.
Potentially then you're going to forfeit points in.
But not on the evidence of what we've seen this year from Takamoto. Are they going to get more points? You look at Lappe's last full-time year, and you look at Takamoto's last half year. You know, and Takamoto-san has been more impressive. He's finished more regularly. He scored more highly than Lappe did.
I think
it's a strange decision.
I don't think Lappe will be long out of the car next year. I don't think Ogier will do many rounds at all. And from what we're hearing, it won't be a lot of rallies at all. And potentially where Ogier does come, perhaps if there is an element of that, Cole, they'll just run another car for him, maybe.
Run another car. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, make absolute sense. So when you say not many, David, what are you hearing? Two or three, four or five?
Yeah, certainly more at that end of the scale. Right. I think Monty is the obvious one. And then I think from what I understand, he was keen to do Mexico. Mexico's not there. I don't know. But not many. Yeah. There seems to have been quite a big shift in the last 3 or 4 months. And obviously he wants to put some time in the Toyota hypercar and find his way to Le Mans. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, you know, would you overlook Sebastian Ogier if you had him for, say, Portugal? The key, like Malcolm Wilson said, not so long ago, that the really interesting aspect is going to be where Sebastian Ogier comes to a Sardinia or a Portugal and starts 10th on the road in the dream position that he's wanted to be on a warm gravel rally for the last 10 or 15 years or whatever. He gets a go and let's see what he can do. And he's, you know, he's a driver with massive experience, so he will be able to apply himself in a new car. But having said that, there are so many aspects of these new cars in terms of regen, in terms of hybrid deployment, that there's absolutely no precedent for this at all. You know, we've never, ever seen anything like this in the World Rally Championship before, which is, for me, what makes it so damned exciting going into next year.
Really exciting. Can we just, Hyundai, can we just go back to Hyundai a little bit, if you don't mind, boys, before we wrap up? Because what have I got? 10 more minutes before I have to go. And I'm really sorry about that, because I could talk to you boys and Lise for hours. Hyundai, we know they've struggled in Finland. We know there's pressure on them. There's pressure on, obviously, the WRC team, but there's also pressure on the Rally 2 team for Finland. You know, we've seen this new car that's been introduced.
Particularly now, Hootsen and Shunted today.
That's my point, David. Sorry. You're ahead of me, as always. That's my point. It's no looking good.
No. You know? No.
Hootsen's had a very big one, apparently. Now, from people on the scene, people in the know, the car is fixable. So it's not a catastrophic, to use one of George's words, a catastrophic role. But it's not good, is it? It was on the same corner apparently that Hayden Padden rolled. Remember that? When he was testing the Fiesta World Rally Car. Oh. And he rolled it before the event started.
Did he make a cut? Was that what happened?
It was quite fast.
There?
If you remember the corner, it was really quick, and I think he overcommitted, didn't he?
Was it Finland that where we got that incredible shot of Hayden coming into a corner a little bit hot, and he just keeps it like 90 degrees to the road, knocks it down through the box, and then accelerates away like it was intended?
No, George, that was a drive day in Australia on. I saw you commenting on that the other day.
Oh,
one of the best bits
God.
Of footage anywhere. It's fabulous.
Oh, that's it. That's right up yeah. there with the photographs of Bjorn yeah. Waldegard hanging the wheel yeah. over the one of the stages up above yeah. below Guimarães above
Guimarães.
I think it's just below Faf yeah. actually yeah, on the way south from.
Yeah,
that's
where they start the rally these days at Portugal. But David, I mean, you know, it just adds to the pressure, doesn't it? This accident for it adds the pressure on Hootenen, but it also adds the pressure on the whole team. I would say
it does. Nobody wants to crash in a test, do they? Particularly, obviously, it's his entry car as well. I would imagine so. It does absolutely. It brings more pressure. We saw some speed from that car with Solberg leading in Greece last time out. But they need a result. They need a result. You know, there's nothing. This Rally 2 car is all about the commercial aspect of the sport. It's all about selling metal, isn't it? And, you know, the easiest way to sell metal is to show your car winning. If Oliver Solberg, Jari Huttunen takes a minute win over Mads Osberg in Finland on Sunday, suddenly everybody's looking at these cars. And if they're nowhere, people are not looking at the cars. So it's a huge amount of pressure. And all around, you know, I wrote this piece last week about the pressure that is on Adamo now, and it's huge. It really is. You know, the fact that their Rally 1 car is behind, there's significant pressure on the remainder of this season. You know, it's very easy to say, right, let's just write it off and focus on next year, but there's still three rallies to go. And still
wins to be had, because wins is great. Is great publicity, and that sells
totally,
cars in insurance.
A 1,000
lakes
win, you know, is a massive yep. deal. Unfortunately, it's not promoted in the same way that it would have been in days gone by. But still, and if you look at Hyundai's lineup, much as I would love to say, I'm not going to say it because I do think Breeny could be up there, and Breeny will be up there, and Craig could win Finland. You look at what he did.
I think you're right.
These conditions are conducive to a driver just getting into the right groove, and Craig can do that.
He can. The only thing that would have stopped me saying that is the fact that you know, one driver is hot to trot, and in fact ought to trot or oit to trot is Tanak, who goes down, you know, he's chasing a hat-trick, having won in 18 and 19. And
it's not going to happen, guys. It's David, I like your optimism, but it's not.
It's Kelly.
Going to
it's
happen.
Kelly's rally.
No, it's not. It's not. Listen, they're going to struggle to get on the podium. They're going to, you know, we've got two drivers at Toyota right now who, for different reasons, perhaps won't be absolutely flat out. You've got Ogier because he doesn't have to be.
Don't say Tanak.
And we know from. Let's say four drivers. Let's put Taka into that group.
Taka's going to be on the door handle, surely, isn't he? I know it's going to
be
difficult.
Very, very fast, but it's going to be very difficult for Taka. He's had a difficult two or three rallies.
Colin,
but George,
David,
George, wait a second, George, let me finish this. It is, for me, inconceivable, even with Elvin Evans not at 100%, with Ogier not at 100%, you know, Taka-san will be the rear guard fighting off the first of the Hyundais. You know, he really will. I cannot for the life of me see Hyundai pulling a rabbit out of the bag and saying, we're here, we fixed all these Finland woes.
No.
And we are now bang on the pace. This, it is not going to happen.
This is very, sadly. Very strange, Cole. Just at the point where you said Elvin Evans not completely on the ball or whatever you said, my phone beeped and Elvin Evans is ringing. Oh my goodness. He's just, he can hear right. you.
Wants to pick you up on that, Colin.
Yeah.
But listen, he's not. You know, Elvin Evans, absolutely 100% confident. You would say would be joint favourite with Rovan Perra for the win. But I don't think he is quite at one with that car. And as George tells us, keep saying, you know, if you are at one with the car, it's so easy, even in those difficult, rutty conditions.
But guys, look, the beginning of the first three, four rallies in the year, you two were saying the Toyota's not got it, it's not got the pace,
never said
the
that.
Honda's running
never
away
said
with
it.
Everything. Yes, you did.
Never
you
said
all
it.
Said it.
Never said it.
I saw
you did.
Said
you all said it. The Toyota wasn't on the pace. Wasn't on the pace, and they were missing something. And I was saying exactly the same thing. Actually, it's just down to the drivers being comfortable.
Yeah.
And that is although for sure Hyundai has not been able to develop the car any further than from previous years, Colin. But they will have learned more. They will have been working on it. And you know what? They might just get the drivers in the right place.
And also, George.
I'm going for a Toyota 1-2-3. I'm going to have a bet on it. It's a Toyota 1-2-3 on this one.
We should say, though, you know, I've just been doing some research for another feature about the top 10 Finns. And we've just mentioned that, obviously, there's some new co-drivers in on this event. Formo has one. Solberg has one. Takasan has one. But actually, how necessary is a co-driver? When you look, let me speak. Sorry, just to quantify this.
I've just
got to the point where we're looking at 1977. Which was the Thousand Lakes won by Kosti Hämäläinen,
who was
just a brilliant story. So didn't use pace notes at all. His co-driver. Yeah.
You've had to go a long way back to pull that one out, David.
Actually, yeah, sorry.
It's pretty famous, though.
Just imagine sitting there as a co-driver and just not saying a word and just letting your driver get on with it. I was, of course, joking
ride.
Completely. Colt, give us your 1-2-3 before you have to go.
1-2-3 has got to be Rovan Perra, and I am going to go with Elvin. I think Elvin wants this more than perhaps Ogier needs it. So I'm going to go Rovan Perra, Elvin, and then Takasan.
Ooh.
just to be different.
I'm going to go.
Just to be different.
Do you know how much Ogier doesn't need this great result in this event? He doesn't need a win. You know, it's probably never been a better time for him to do it because you know, if he goes for it and he doesn't get it, you know, and he ends up off the road and maybe just gets a couple of points from the power stage at the end of the day, it's not going to be catastrophic.
But that's not what he's about, is it? It's
no, it's not. But a Finland win, this is his last
he's
year.
He's done it though, George. Doesn't need it again.
It's like Loeb said, you only have to do it once. Yeah. You only have to do it once.
Yeah,
100%. I think you're right. I think Calais is the man. Elvin. I think, well, don't forget, though, Elvin hasn't been in Finland since 18 because he missed 19 because of that
back
incident in Estonia. Yeah. So, you know, another year's absence.
Yeah.
So who knows? But I'm not sure of the clean sweep. I think there will be a Hyundai somewhere on the podium. Somewhere. Oh.
I would love to see them.
I love your specificity.
You know, if you cut me down the middle, it might say Toyota inside, but there's always that little quarter that's reserved for everyone else. And I love an underdog. I would love to see Hyundai just pull something out of the bag here, something special, just to keep Toyota honest.
It could happen, you know. Tanak can carry that.
It could
car.
Happen. Tanak can do them. He's amazing. He's an amazing driver. And if he comes out there, if he gets himself in the right place, the right state of mind, you know, he has really nothing to lose, so he can absolutely go
Craig.
For it.
You know, we're too quick.
Yeah.
And what Craig did in Estonia was awesome.
I think we're too quick.
You know, Craig can do it. Colin, you're a
doubter. Craig can do it.
You're not welcome.
No, I know he can do it. I absolutely know he can do it. I'm not sure he's got the tools to do it. But at the end of the day, David, you're right. We may well see a Toyota, falling by the wayside. You know, we saw technical problems for Elvin in Greece, didn't we? Jari Matti, remember when he had that wonderful lead in Finland a couple of years ago and it was on Empoya, I think it all ended on, didn't it, at the side of the road?
Was that the year Lappi won? It's always possible. 17.
I think it was. So, you know, anything can happen. That's the great thing about our sport. And when you've got
Go on, Lise. Why? Sorry, no, you finish, because I'm gonna send you on your way very shortly.
Thank you. Yes. Anything can happen, Lisa. Anything can happen.
Which is why we love this sport, which is why everybody should be tuned in to dirtfish.com, so we can, you know, flag the things that you should be watching. And yeah, you should be subscribed to this podcast by now. If not, why not? Go on, go away, do it now. Click on your podcast provider's subscribe button and make sure you join the team, as we will review all the action from Jyväskylä.
Lisa, who is your chosen podcast provider?
Oh, I'm an iTunes girl, I have to say. But also, right. It just because it's easy on my phone. That's the phone I have.
So iTunes
but
actually
Android,
exists.
Android alternatives are good. Yes, but it's been split into podcasts. But everybody else knows that. It's just us Luddites having this conversation.
Spotify. I was going to say Spotify.
Spotify. Yeah. Spotify is good. There is also Audio Bean, Podbean. Mm-hmm. What else can I think of? There's loads.
But if you get your Androids,
we should have a short article. We should have a short article on our website for Luddites like me.
I wouldn't be able to find
it.
And I'm an
absolute technophile. just a small article, just pointing out to people where they can do it, because sometimes I know that it can be a wee bit.
I'm going to make that happen.
A wee bit intimidating, and just a short article saying this is what you would do to get these, and they would always arrive, and you get a wee bell ring, and you know your podcast is ready to listen to.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that happen for you, George. I'm going to make that happen on dirtfish.com.
Oh, I use iTunes.
That was just for you, Cole. Okay. That was a live COVID cough. Did you get that?
We've been right. Quite dismissive about the COVID coughs, but that was a proper one. Your thing.
Thanks, guys.